Praise the Lord for our worship team this morning. God bless them. That song, that last song about a good, good father, it's who he is. And we, his children, loved by him, it's who we are. It's who we are. And that one idea really is summarized in the word blessed. We are a blessed people to have such a relationship with God. And if we leave here with anything this morning, may it be that one word, blessed. And I want to have you greet each other this morning. You might have a cold or a flu, so if you do, use your chicken bone to do a chicken bone greeting. If you're clean and you're not unclean, you can do a holy hug or a holy kiss. But the greeting, now if you were a hockey player and you play on the team that I play with, your greeting might be this, because I was looking for a rhyming greeting. Let's be mean in 2017. But that's not for us, right? We're a different kind of team. We're God's team. So our rhyming greeting this morning is the word keen, you know, keen. Let's be keen in 2017. So rise up and say that to each other. Let's be keen in 2017. Okay, that's keen enough. That's keen enough. Keen's a good word for me because my nephews and niece in New York, they have that New York accent and they call me Uncle Keen instead of Uncle Ken. And if you don't know who I am and if you're here for the first time, my name is Ken. I'm one of the pastors here and it's a joy to be your servant this morning. Just a last little announcement, if you're keen for offerings, and you didn't get your offering envelopes, they are downstairs, the 2017 envelopes. Grab them on the way out, and you're good to go. And we do have the online giving. You can read about that in the bulletin. I want to read the passage this morning, and we're going to be in a part of the Bible we don't go to often. This is January, and we're going to make January a month of promises. Promises from God. There's so many. We're going to only cherry pick a few. And a few of us will be preaching the promises of God to start very positively in 2017. So we're in Chronicles this morning. So if you don't know where that is, you have the first five books, the Pentateuch. Then you have Judges, Ruth, 1st, 2nd Samuel, 1st, 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles. So try to find it. If you're smart and you got an electronic one, you'll find it right away. So 1st Chronicles chapter 4. And our passage this morning is verse 9 and 10. A character perhaps you've never heard of before named Jabez. And so his prayer, we're hoping, would become our prayer for 2017. We read these words. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, "I gave birth to him in pain." Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain." And God granted his request. Join with me in prayer at this time. Father, as we start the year, what a better place, no better place we could be than in your word. And as we look to this prayer that has so much promise in it, we pray that you would help us to glean from it in this Old Testament context what fits for us as New Testament believers. Empower us by the Spirit to receive and then to run with it in the world. For the name and sake of Jesus, amen. Dr. Ben Carson was a director of the pediatric neurosurgery at Johns Hopkins Hospital, which means he was a brain surgeon for children. So imagine a small brain to go into, considered one of the best in the world. His story was put in print and in film called Gifted Hands. And it tells the story from the age of 10. Imagine at the age of 10, he wanted to be a brain surgeon. How many kids, you know, want to do that at the age of 10? And that dream of his connects with the story of Jabez, because what they have in common, Jabez, one of the key words is the word pain. We're going to see that will come out in the story, the word pain. And Dr. Ben Carson had to come out of personal pain from his background, his family background, to actually achieve the dream. He went through the pain of poverty growing up in a single parent situation, real serious poverty. He also had to get past the pain of what other people thought about him and expect and said, that dream you have, that's for other people. That's not for you. Forget about that dream. He also had to get past the pain of pathological anger. He had serious, serious anger issues to the point that he was actually violent. And God changed him. What made the difference in his life was an amazing mother that forced him to read books. Any moms here feel you got to force your kids to read books? You know, they want to read everything else but books. Well, it worked. He actually got an appetite for reading books, and as well, God changed his life. This morning, we're going to visit with Jabez and see how there's connection between the pain of Ben Carson, which we're past that now. We're going to go straight into Jabez. And now pain worked in his life. This man whose story is found in Chronicles, chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. And before we dive in, I need to give a little bit of credit to someone who really inspired me to look at Jabez, because I probably would have never even spent time here. Back in 2002, I read a little book that was a very popular book at the time, and it was called The Prayer of Jabez, written by Dr. Bruce Wilkinson. And he really did a lot of homework and a deep study in the passage, and I read the book and I said, wow, you know, this has got to be passed on. So a lot of what I'm saying this morning, deeply inspired by his study and his teachings. That book touched a nerve. It touched the souls of many people. It was written for Christians and written about prayer. You think, well, you know, only Christians would read a book like that. It actually hit number one in the New York Times bestsellers and sold 4 million copies. And then he wrote a second book called Beyond Jabez. So he was touching in something that people really want. They want change, and that book's about it. And so as we're starting off with the message, I want you to think about your own life and what God would want for you in 2017, and to think beyond, well, you know, the same as 2016. We don't want to think that way this year. So let's be turning there, and we're looking now at a book, Chronicles, which is really the official family tree for the 12 tribes of Israel, starting in chapter 1, and it goes from Adam all the way to the captivity. It covers their whole history. There's 500 names, at least, mentioned in this chronicle. And you're only 44 names deep into the story when you come on this little gem, chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, about Jabez, or Jabez in English. And it's amazing. We know nothing else about him. He's never mentioned anywhere else in the Bible, only in this chapter. And what we come to in this little section here is three things. What God thought about Jabez, what his mother thought of him, or what she was thinking when he was born, the word pain covers it, and then what he prayed later on. That prayer wasn't when he was a baby, by the way. You don't get that in the scripture, but much later when he was adult, in spiritual crisis, we have his one and only prayer in the Bible. So this one prayer is an insight into the man. You can learn a lot about a person by listening to their prayers. And so you should listen to the great prayers in the Bible. At Christmas time, read the prayer song of Mary in Luke chapter 2. You'll learn a lot about what a great saint Mary was. And you could multiply that by many, many examples. And so how a person prays. Notice also, before we get in, verse 1, before we get into verses 9 and 10, it tells us which tribe he came from. So for those of you who can see it, which tribe was he from? The tribe of Judah. Which tribe is that? That's Messiah's tribe. So that's an interesting note. He's in a very distinguished tribe. We come to verse 9, and we read, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. Stop. Well, aren't we all the same? You mean there's some in the body of Christ or in the kingdom of Israel that are more honorable than others? That's what the text says. We see the New Testament in the book of Acts. There's a verse pertaining to the Bereans. And the story there was Paul went to the Thessalonians and they kicked him out. The rioters, must have been New Year's Eve, they chased Paul out. And then he went to Berea, and we read this verse. The Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with eagerness and examined the scriptures to see if what Paul said was in fact true. Therefore, they had a more noble character. Not everyone's the same. God doesn't look at every believer the same way. What that tells me is God wants you to go for more. God wants you to desire more, not to be in competition, but simply to be the best you can be. Okay, just checking to see who is with me and if you agree with me this morning. We're not all the same. God wants me to be the best me I can be and never, ever to be in competition with someone else. That's just not the spirit of what we are about. When God points to a person in Scripture, and we see it's as though the Holy Spirit is hovering over this passage and saying, pay attention to Jabez, because you read through Chronicles, there's only a few that are given the kind of attention he is given. And God says he's more honorable. When God says she or a he is more honorable than others, we pay attention and say, why? What is it about him that made him more honorable than his brothers? What comes next in the text seems to indicate that what his mother thought of him is quite different than what God wanted for him. Because his mother names him in Hebrew a word that sounds very much like pain. That was his name. Okay. And sometimes what God thinks of us and what our parents may think of us or our siblings may think of us can be so different that God actually has to change our name. And so he was stuck with this name Payne. You ever seen the movie Sergeant Payne? That was his name from birth. That was his first name, not his last name. And we see it in the Bible. Jacob, Yaakov, means heel catcher. You know the story when he, with his twin brother, was coming out of the womb, he grabbed his brother's heel. That became his name. You'd think it would go for something bigger. But that was his name. And he wanted more. Jacob wanted more. We'll see later how he wrestles with God, and he gets a new name. That's exciting. He gets a new name. Some of the names in the Bible are really kind of interesting. In one of the books just before this one, the book of Ruth, you know the story, Ruth and Naomi. Naomi had two sons, and their names are Mahlon and Chilion. Sounds really cool in Hebrew. In English, it means puny and pining. Pining is like whiny. Can you imagine, you know, puny and whiny? Those are their names. Please change my name. I don't want that name. And Jabez, his name really connects deeply with pain. That's a tough name to be born with. And I can imagine as he grew up, you know, it's supper time and mom calls out or dad calls out, hey, pain, it's supper time. And the kids, you could just imagine. I mean, that's a hard one. And I can tell you stories of people who got some really weird names. And you see, your parents actually gave you that name. You've heard of, you know, Mary, and guess what her last name was? Christmas. It's true. And I know a guy in French, his last name was La Flèche. And his first name was La Flèche. His first last name was Golden. So La Flèche Dorée means golden arrow. What did they do to him? You could multiply it many, many times. So his name is Payne, and C.S. Lewis wrote a book about pain. It says pain is actually important in life. Pain is God's megaphone to get our attention. When we're in pain, and some of you are in pain here this morning, you're going through things, God is telling you not everything is right in the world. And pain speaks to us deeply. It draws us to God. Valerie and I had a really wonderful meeting with a guy we knew when he was a teenager back in a previous ministry. And he was just a teenager doing crazy teenage things. And he signed up for the armed forces. And off he went. And we didn't see him since like 2005, 2016. And in between those dates, he went off to Bosnia. He went off to Syria. Went off to Israel. And then he finally finished two tours of duty in Afghanistan. And he's just totally in pain, totally, you know, post-traumatic stress disorder. And he's been for 2 years now trying to get help, and he's doing better, became a father, he's got a wife, it's wonderful. But God has his attention and he's listening. He's listening to God. So it works. Verse 10 says, Jabez cried out to the God of Israel. When you cry out to God, usually it's because you're in pain. The pain of his past, of his family background, was so intense it moved him to cry out to God. He didn't push the pain down or push the pain away or try something else to get away from the pain. He cried out to God. It's the greatest and best thing you can do when you're in pain is to call on the Lord. And maybe that's why it said he was more honorable than his brothers. He actually cried out to God. He wanted something more in his life. He wanted more for his own person, more than what he was given as a name. Maybe he didn't like his name and he said, I want to be more than this. I don't want to be labeled. And it's like, you know, when people label you and you come back and say, I'll show you. It's funny how that works, eh? When someone labels you, you say, no, I'm not going to accept that label or even that name. I can do better. That's what we see in the life of Jabez. And I'm going to ask you this morning this question. What do you want in 2017? Do you want the same as 2016? I'm just here. I arrived. I survived. That's good. But I really believe God wants more for you in 2017, that you shouldn't be satisfied with, as great as 2016 was, you should not be satisfied with that. You should want more. And I'll define what more is in a few moments. I really believe in some it's a more honorable you. So God could say to you, you're more honorable than others. You've come to a higher spiritual place. And you're worthy of a new name. Wouldn't you like to know what God would give you as a new name? Do you know there is a name in heaven for you? That's right. In the book of Revelation, it says the Lord Jesus Christ will one day give overcomers a white stone with a new name written on that. Have you ever wondered what your new name is? You'll find out one day. I can't tell you what it is now. That's between you and Jesus. But one day you're going to get that new name. And I can't wait to hear what my new name is. But you got to push towards it. You've got to do more than what you're doing now. Be more than what you are now to get the new name. So let's dive in and notice as we are that Jabez also gave honor to God's name. It says he cried out to the God of Israel. That means he had reverence to how God had revealed himself at that point in history. He wasn't calling on the gods of the world, the gods of the nations. And today that might translate into, well, whatever, you know, he, she, or it, the big man upstairs. That's not very reverential, is it? God has revealed his name. And today for us, that means the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so if we want to get anywhere with God, we need to know him by name and call on his name. So there's four things that Jabez prays for. We're going to look at each little phrase because they're all important. And the first thing Jabez prays is, oh, that you would bless me. Oh, that you would bless me. That's fervor. You got to put some oh in your prayer. You got to really, you know, go inside and let out some emotion. When you're in pain, you don't just whimper. Well, sometimes I whimper when I'm in pain. But if I'm really in pain, ouch, I let it out. And there's a soul pain that's different than body pain. And Jabez was in soul pain, so out came an O. And even the letter O has different nuances in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Sometimes it's praise. Other times it's, oh, Lord, how long? There can be pain in the O. And so it's fervent, it's honest, it's true. And he lets out this cry of pain. Bless me indeed. Oh, Lord, bless me indeed. Oh, that you would wonderfully bless me. Now, you're maybe asking the question now, can we really pray a prayer like that? That just sounds wrong for me to pray about me. I'm not worthy to pray a prayer like that. It sounds kind of selfish. Oh, that you would bless me. Usually we're told to pray for the blessing of others, never to pray for our own personal blessing. And that's because we don't understand what that word bless means. It's more than, you know, when a person sneezes, like at this time of the season, you say, God bless you. You know, like, what a weird thing. I sneeze and you say, God bless me. Or Gesundheit. It's a much bigger meaning than that. Or that you would have more physical wealth in your life. Yes, but blessing is a much bigger word than that. In Hebrew, it's the word Barak. And there are people in the Old Testament, their first name was Barak. And it means bless, blessing, blessedness. And has the idea that God would endue you with power so you could reach out for more in life. God would pour his power in your life so there would be more prosperity, maybe reproduction. God bless me with more children. Any women here want more children? Okay, anyway. I play hockey with a guy who's got 7 daughters, and Don will witness to me, with me, that's true. So you ever want more? Nope, it's enough. I've got enough blessing. So I can mean that, childbearing, prosperity, long life. Lord, bless me with more years. My father turned 79 this week and said, Dad, you got to go for 80. Give us that 80 and go beyond. We want more in that regard. The virgin birth, Mary was endued with such power that a miracle took place in her life. It's something supernatural. So Mary is called blessed. She's the most blessed woman that ever walked the planet Earth. Ultimately, God is the source of all blessing. Real blessing is supernatural, and it comes from God. He controls blessing and who it goes upon to show his favor. It's a spiritual thing. We need to be right with God. And he confers the blessing on those he wants to show his favor to. And all we can do is say, may God bless you. We can't really bless a person, right? We pray for it. But God brings the blessing. He desires it for everyone. God wants every single person in this room to have blessing. It's his desire for you in 2017. Once we understand that, then we want more. We want what God actually wants for us. He wants to bless you. Okay. He wants to bless you so much that he would actually change your name. Jacob wanted this so badly. He wanted the blessing of God. I guess he had been in a point in his life where maybe it was kind of like status quo, and he got to a spiritual crisis where he was so tired with himself. We read in the Bible that Jacob wrestled with God all night long, and if you understand what was going on, it really means he prayed. He was praying, and he said in his prayer, I will not let go of you until you bless me. I won't let go of you. I'm going to pray and pray and pray until you bless me, until you change me. And God said, your name will no longer be Jacob. From now on, your name will be Israel, Prince of God, because you have struggled with God and struggled with men, and you've overcome. Hallelujah. Overcomers have their names changed. God changes us. There's a beautiful story in this Bruce Wilkerson book, the second book, actually, called Beyond Jabez, and it's a story of a wonderful African woman who, though she was very poor and lived in a little hut, she had a huge responsibility. She was caring for 56 orphans out of nothing. She had nothing. She lived in Swaziland, and she had this vision that I'll tell you about in a moment, but Bruce Wilkerson wanted to take a team to Africa to go and bring blessing, to be a conduit of blessing. And so they go, and they find this woman on the last day of their mission trip, and they come to her hut, and they notice a whole bunch of gardens with holes in the ground and nothing. There's no plants, there's nothing, just holes in the ground. And they found that to be quite odd. And the woman herself, as they heard her story, heard that on the day they were arriving, she told the children, go and make gardens. Go dig holes in the ground. And the kids said, yeah, but we got no seed. We have no money to even buy seed. God will take care of it. And she explained that she had prayed and the Lord made it clear to her that he would provide. But they had to be prepared. And so here comes this team with a pile of little seedling plants all ready to be planted. They didn't know, she didn't know, but she had her faith and she was ready. And she told the children through this experience, we prayed, God provided, and God intervened. in a very powerful way. Do you want more blessing in 2017? Amen. Amen. Well, you need now to continue praying with Jabez. Number two, he prays, enlarge my territory. And another translation says, my borders. On the surface, it sounds like he's just talking about land, square footage. And in the context, it fits really well because it's in the context of Joshua, you know, conquering the land, getting more land, the partitioning, all of that. But there's something deeper than just land because he would only be given so much land anyway. So it wasn't more land. It's helped me to do more with the land you've given me. So the Living Bible brings it out. It says, help me in my work. Psalm 90, which we opened the service with, talks about, Lord, establish the work of my hands. That's really getting at the idea of this prayer of enlarge my territory. Thank you, Lord. Well, we see how this might have been fulfilled in 1 Chronicles 2, verse 55. And we read in that chapter, and I think this is really the fulfillment of his prayer. It says, the clans of the scribes, those are the people who were writing the copies of the Old Testament text. So the clans of the scribes who lived at Jabez, that means there was a town that was actually named after him. And this became a town where the word of God was actually written and passed out, and passed on, I should say. So the prayer was answered. Well, here we are in the New Testament era. How do we, you know, transfer from that time to our time and apply this? I think I could apply in that we could be praying for more opportunity, that we would be able to do more within what God has already given us. So right within these facilities, right within our personal lives, right within your personal finances, that you could do more with what God has given you, that you would have more influence in the lives of other people, that you would have more vision to actually try bigger things and to have faith that God wants to do bigger things, that he will bring the people to you in your life that you can actually help. Some people have a big gift of faith. Dr. Wilkinson, he tells the story how the Lord made it clear to him, I want you to take the Bible college students where he was to Trinidad. Lord, how am I going to do that? Pray for a DC-10. So he prayed with all the students, God, give us Trinidad and give us a DC-10 to get there. They got the DC-10, they went there, and they changed lives. God can do a lot of things if we have that faith. People's church, I think for us this translates into more ministry, that God would enlarge what we could do for kingdom purposes, more ministry coming out of this church in different ways. Who wants more territory in 2017? More blessing and more territory. The only thing that could stop us is us. Us saying, we've already got enough to do. We can barely do what we're already doing. We can't even fully staff, you know, the nursery downstairs. Well, we can pray about that. If we say, you know, we've got to get our act together before we try anything else, we'll never try anything else because we'll never completely have our act together. We never do. I mean, God just calls us to do more, trusting that he will meet us. Most of this is show up. Show up, and the Holy Spirit will show up and do amazing things. His prayer continues, and I think Jason, when he was leading the song, he really hit the nail. I just wanted to shout it out. When he said, utter dependence. That's the theme here this morning. And the line in his prayer is, let your hand be with me. That's a very humble thing. And it's really speaking of God's power. The logical next step when we ask for more territory is to ask for this, because more territory means more responsibility, which really brought Jabez to the edge. It was stretching him so much that he felt, if I ask for more territory, I can't do it in my own power, and I'm going to fail. I can barely handle what I'm doing now. Lord, I'm afraid to ask for more. I'm afraid of more responsibility. I'm afraid to be a volunteer for anything. I can barely do what I'm doing now. But if God's hand is with you, you can do anything. I can do anything through what? Hallelujah. That's what it is. It's not me. It's not you. It's Christ who strengthens us to do these things. When it says, may the hand of God be with me, what does that mean? It's obviously metaphorical. And it's speaking of God's power. The hand of God created you in your mother's womb. God knit you together. Isn't that amazing? He brought you into the world. He sustains you every moment. Every breath is from God. We need him so much. He delivers us over and over. His hand saves us. And then he spanks us. I've been spanked many times where God's spanking me. I needed that. And then he guides me, right? He gets me back on track. And we know when that's happening. It's his hand, his power working in our lives. I want to give you an illustration. If you've got an actual Bible, turn the page over, one page, chapter 5. And we see this illustrated very powerfully where the hand of God was with the entire nation. Chapter 5, verse 20, it's Joshua. And if you know the story of Joshua, God called them to go and possess the land, to take what he gave them. They had to do it. And we read in verse 18, they had all the stuff they needed. They had a big army. They had all the weapons. Here's where we see the humility. This is really key. Verse 20 says they were helped in fighting them, and God handed the Hagarites and all their allies over to them. Why? Because they cried out to him during the battle. He answered their prayers because they trusted in him. And God's called us to some big things too. Huge things to bring the gospel to this city and even beyond. And we have enemies that we are battling with and we can't see them. They're like spiritual cougars and spiritual grizzly bears, demons that are so powerful we can't even see them. And they oppose us every step of the way. And if we think we can do this on our own because we got, you know, lots of money or a big building, we're crazy. That's just crazy thinking. We totally, utterly depend on God. In New Testament language, this is really praying for the Holy Spirit to fill us. When the Holy Spirit fills us, the power of God is with us to do great, bold things, to bring the gospel in every way we can into the world. So far, what we've covered is more blessing, more territory, more opportunity, and then more of God's hand, his direct involvement in our lives individually and in the life of People's Church corporately. And now we come to the last part of the prayer where we see his name and say, oh yeah, this is about pain. He finally prays, keep me from harm that I might not pain. That's what it says in the Hebrew, that I might not pain. And so we have to work with that and, you know, add a word for it to make sense. Some translations say, so that I might be free from pain or not cause pain. And that brings it all together. This is really humble. Jabez is realizing that if God gives him what he's asking for, more territory, more blessing, he's going to have greater opposition, and he might actually fail. He might actually sin, and the enemies are so great outside, but also the enemy within. The enemy within, in our language, we call the flesh. We are new creatures in Christ. Christ has made us new. But I looked in the mirror this morning and I still got the same old bod. And that old bod doesn't like what God likes all the time. My old bod, it fights with my spirit, right? The spirit and the flesh are always at enmity with each other. And in this prayer, Jabez is saying, I could stumble and I could fall into sin and bring pain into my own life and bring great pain into the lives of those I love. This is a humble prayer. This is the daily prayer of the disciples. You know the disciples' prayer? Every day we pray, you know, keep us from the evil one. Lead us not into temptation and keep us from the evil one. And this is, you know, where you're humbly saying, Lord, you know where the border is for me. You know the boundary of what I can handle and when it's too much and when I'm going to fall because of temptation. You know where I should be, how long I should be there, who I should be with, who I shouldn't be with. You know all these things. You are wiser than I am. Protect me because I don't even trust the body. I trust you. I trust your spirit. And so that's a prayer we should always pray for. We don't want to be the cause of pain for anybody. I want to quote Bruce Wilkinson here. He says, "The only thing that can break the cycle of abundant living is sin. Sin breaks the flow of God's power." And when you've had many successes spiritually in your life, like many victories, and God's doing many things, that's when you're the most vulnerable. It's when temptation comes. It's when you can fall. He tells the story of how the Lord brought him to a particular Bible institute, and God used him powerfully for an entire week. He was doing his thing. He was using his gift, and people were being blessed. At the end of the week, he was 100% spent. And he said, I got nothing left inside of me. And here's his own words. He prayed. He was in a cab on the way to the airport to go back home. And in the cab, he prayed, "Lord, I have no resistance left. I'm completely worn out in your service. I can't cope with temptation. Please keep evil far from me today." Then listen to what happened. He goes to the airplane. He's put in the middle chair, someone on the right, someone on the left. Before the plane even took off, the guy on the right pulled out a pornographic magazine. And so he prays. He said, "Lord, I thought we had a deal." He opens his eyes, and this is true. This is in his book. He says, "I looked at the other guy on the other side. He must have been emboldened. He pulled out a pornographic magazine." And then he got really desperate and prayed again. Silently said, "Lord, I can't cope with this today. Please chase evil far away from me." And then something amazing happened. Suddenly the guy on the left, actually, he cursed and closed up his magazine and put it away. Then the guy on the right saw that. He cursed, closed up his magazine, and put it away. And then as they were flying over Indiana, Dr. Wilkinson says he just couldn't help himself. He started to chuckle out loud. And one of them said, "So what's so funny?" You know, they didn't even understand what was going on. He said, "You would not believe it if I told you." And witnessing opportunity did come out of that. The prayer ends with this, the passage. God granted him what he requested. That tells me that you, at some point today, could pray the Jabez prayer. You could pray for more blessing in your life, for more territory, for the hand of God to be with you, and for God to keep evil far from you, that you are not a pain in this world, but a blessing. And so I'm going to ask you, we're going to have a moment of silence before the table to, if you want, pray that prayer for you and your family. But I'd like to lead you in a corporate prayer, a Jabez prayer for People's Church. I'm going to ask that you stand at this time. And we're not really praying for just ourselves now. We're praying for the whole church. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes as we pray. Our Father in heaven, we come before you on day one of 2017. We pray, oh God, that you would bless People's Church this year. Endue every family and every person here with power for a victorious, successful life, for more godliness. Lord, we thank you for what we did in 2016. We thank you for what looked like enlargement of territory, more ministry. We did new things. We thank you for that. But we ask for more in 2017. We don't want to do status quo. We pray you open our eyes. We pray you strengthen our faith, enlarge our territory, enlarge our opportunities for the gospel. We pray you bring us into new things, that we would touch new lives, that we would see the baptistry waters stirred many times, many coming to faith. Father, we pray that you would enlarge our workforce. We can't do it unless you multiply our numbers. Enlarge our financial resources. And Father, as we do ministry in this building, we pray you help us to take all the land, as it were, every square inch, and to make room for more and more people you want to touch. May your hand be upon us, your power, the touch of greatness. Hold us up, hold us together, be glorified by what we do in your midst. so everyone can see this was God, not us. We pray you would keep us safe from pain, the pain of sin. Deliver us from the evil one. Deliver us from the forces of darkness that would destroy us. Help us to be spiritually alert. We ask these things for the glory of Jesus Christ. Amen. I ask that you be seated, that our ushers come forward at this time as we go to the table.